And this morning we're going to start in Leviticus 26. This is a verse that God has been putting on my heart. One of the things that I love in the Bible is the story of Israel. As they leave Egypt, what happens to them, their experiences. I love the manna that God provides for his people. That's always an encouragement to me, because when you're fighting, when you're desperate, when you're in need, it's awesome that we have a God that would literally rain down heaven food for you. Yeah. It's one of the wildest stories in the Bible to me. I mean, think about that. It's one, we think it's fancy that we have delivery nowadays. Like, hey, we got somebody we can order delivery from. You can go to fast food restaurants. Like, this food came down out of the sky, out of nowhere. It was like angel's food for you. You know, we have angel's food cake. This was legit angel's food from heaven. But this was a cool thing about manna. God so wanted a relationship with his people that he said, you can't take manna for 2 days, because if you do, I'm going to cause it to rot, because there was those people. You know what would happen if we had food come and just show up outside your door, or let's say in modern day, money just showed up outside, enough money for today, enough money for everybody, it's us out there. You would have those people that got bulldozers and trucks, and they'd be getting everybody's money.
Oh, sure.
They'd just be like, they'd be organizing big groups of people to get together money for them to grab all the money. So when you'd go outside your house, you'd be like, where's all the money here? I got to go 3 miles for some money. That's what people would have done with manna too. Like, I gathered all this. It's what people do.
Yeah.
They fall prey to that greed or want, or I needed something, so now I want more than my something that I need. And God was like, no. If you do that, it's all going to rot by tomorrow. So
right.
It's another cool thing about manna. Name another food that you can have today and rots tomorrow other than manna. It's one of the wildest things. I love this story. But God was trying to teach them also one of the methods that he uses to bless us. So we're going to go into Leviticus, and this is one of the areas that most people kind of skip these early books of the Bible. I like reading through them. I encourage you, I understand if you're speed reading, even Dr. Evans was like, certain parts where it's like begat, 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 you can skip that sometimes when you're speed reading through, if you're just trying to get through. But if you're going to do any kind of real Bible reading, don't skip Bible, read Bible. In Leviticus 26:10, it says this: you shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. Another version says, because the new comes. I love this verse because God is trying to teach us a lesson here. He's trying to teach us a lesson with Jesus coming and the way that he was received on the planet. He tried to teach us a lesson with manna and with Israel and his plan for us. Even growing up, when we started church, when my parents first started our church, my mom was a blue jean dress wearing, hair down to her waist, no kidding, wooden cross having, full chest size, bell-bottom style getup that was what fit back then. That's what was there back then. You know, this is like literally like 1980. We were just coming out of the 70s, you know, revolution of style. But that's what we had. And then we also had an acoustic guitar and a piano. That was like our whole instrument that we might have on Sunday. And that was church. That's what everybody knew as church. You didn't have electric guitars, basses, a bunch of drums. That wasn't what happened in church back then. That changed. There was a, like Dr. Evans would say, there was a method adjustment that God did, not a message. The Bible had to stay the same, but methods had to change. And I remember some people in our church, we lost a large group of people because they came and they said, I don't like the new thing you're doing. I don't like the new praise and worship. This is too intense. What is this? Where's the guitar and the hippie music type style thing? They couldn't handle that things were changing. They were being adjusted. And this is what God is trying to help us be prepared for, is old things have to be cleared out for the new things to come. I mean, I like having coffee as much as anybody, but my father will take a cup of coffee, leave it on his desk for like a month. I'm not kidding. He's taken trips for 18 days out of country, came back, and taken a sip out of his coffee cup that had a good old skin on it, which I didn't know coffee could get. Yeah, see, some of you, Teresa's seen this stuff, I'm sure, so she's reliving a nightmare. Like, no. I've watched him eat it with things on it that look like pudding toppers on the coffee. It was, and sometimes he'll be like, no, this isn't good anymore. I'm like, spit it out. I'm like, no, I swallowed that. Like, you wouldn't take that cup and just be like, all right, and put new coffee in it, would you? Not I wouldn't. I'd be like, just throw this cup out. Get me a new one. That's how I'd be. Just, this cup's ruined. Something died in it. I mean, look, it's there. There's evidence. You would clear out the old to make room for the new. It's You don't leave little parts of it in there. The Bible has another pattern for this. It's called consecrate. We have to clean ourselves out. You know, with my kids, you don't go to their room and it's just clean. You tell them, get it clean, it's just clean. When I tell my kids to get a room clean and then I come up there and it looks clean, I'm worried. Because, like, they'll come back a half an hour later, it's clean. And I go up there, I'm like, well, it looks pretty clean. But I was a kid too, so I know where everything is. It's in that closet over there. It's in those drawers and under that bed, and that's why there's a big hump in the carpet. That's not how you clean. You don't leave stuff in there. That's my wife spends, you know, time every once in a while. She'll go to clean the kids' room to make sure it's clean, and she'll go up there. She said this with Sophie's room. She's like, this has taken me, like, most of the day to clean this room, because every time you clean something and you open a new thing, it's like, brrr. That's where all these toys were. That's where all this clothes was. So let's read this. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. It's not going to hate you or have anger or be upset by you. You won't be, you know, displacing the presence of God, in other words. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Hey, this sounds good. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should be not be their slaves, and I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. The reason I love this is God is giving them a template. He's saying, listen, if you will take the old things out, eat the old things up, clear the old things away so that new things can come, then I will be your God and you will be my people. Remember, I'm the God that delivered you from the old things. Remember, I'm the God that delivered you from slavery and bondage. There are still people today that are so enslaved by their lifestyle, so enslaved by finances or by their you know, jobs, that they are willing to slave themselves out for more hourly wage rather than follow the dream that God has for them, the plan that God has for them, because they can't get rid of the old habit, not because they really need it. That habit barely provides for them. That habit barely makes do for them. But they're afraid to get a new thing because it means clearing out the old thing. We've all been there. You know, we want to replace this floor in here. But if you replace this floor, you just don't magically say, be done. And you don't just come in here and lay a new floor down. You know what you do? You get rid of the old to make room for the new. And that sounds so easy unless you're the guy coming and getting rid of this old. You know, if you replace a driveway, guess what you do? Yeah, it isn't like some people do with roofs. You know, we were in Kirkland. I think they had 4 roofs on that house. Like, not kidding. They kept putting new over old, over old, over old. There was multiple layers. You don't take a driveway and just put new concrete on top of the driveway. You have to break that old up. You have to work that old ground, and you have to get rid of the things that are there. If you go to plant in a field, are you just going to go to that field and start throwing some seed? No. You got to go dig in that field, and you're going to go work in that field, and you're going to go clean the field out. If you want new to come into your life, listen to what I'm saying. If you want new to come to your life, you're going to have to clean old things out. You're going to have to let them go. You're going to have to clean house on them. In our church, you don't see anybody here with bell bottoms on. In my parents' church, how many people have bell bottoms there when you go to church? That's pretty much cleared out. Yeah, the blue jean dress fad, it kind of left. It isn't there anymore. You don't see a lot of that stuff. And there are some people here and there that wear the big crosses, but most of the time they're little crosses. Things have changed. Society has changed. Things have been adjusted. Music has changed. The style of music has changed. And why does this matter? Well, I'm glad you asked. It fits right down the road of what I'm trying to get to. Because it says in 2 Timothy, there are different vessels inside of every house. There are good vessels and bad vessels. There are ones for honor and dishonor. There are different vessels in the house of God and in every church. What kind of vessel will you be? A vessel that's cleaned out? A vessel that's empty? A vessel that's prepared for God's work? Or are you going to be a vessel that's filled up with your stuff, a vessel that's filled up with your pride or your arrogance or your ways? And the reason this matters is look at society right now. It's why we had the pledge this morning, is people need to remember this is America and you are Americans. Yes. And patriotism right now is dying for this weird millennial trash that we're seeing. I mean, last night, and my brother came to me and told me about Atlanta, where they were burning what was the building that they burnt? A Wendy's? They burnt a Wendy's and they closed down 75 through there because of these riots. People are angry with no good reason to be angry. They're angry for other people, but they don't understand why they're angry. It's because it's a spirit. They're out there being violent for no good. Violence does not beget change. Violence begets a reaction. When you start becoming violent, you cause other people to have to deal with that violence. So that's what happens. Somebody got killed over there when they were doing this riot, which caused and incited more things, including the police chief stepping down. but we're handicapping our country, we're handicapping our police departments, we're handicapping people that are trying to go out there and monitor and help and protect people. Think about this. This is purely a devil's plan opportunity, right? Let's take away all your protection. Let's take away the rights. Imagine if you're a policeman now and you happen to be Caucasian and you see somebody who happens to be black over there committing a crime. You're going to think twice about even addressing the crime because you're going to be like, I might be on the news, go to jail myself. I don't know. I might have to quit. What are we teaching people? We're teaching them to be racist because that's what hate is. You shouldn't. Once you start judging people based on their color, no matter what way you're doing it, it's racism. It should not exist, and it has to stop, and it has to stop person by person. You cannot force everybody to stop thinking a certain way, but you can adjust the way you think.
Yes.
So what I want to talk about this morning is this. Change the way you think about our circumstances we're dealing with, the people we're dealing with in society right now. Society is not the same as it was even 10 years ago. It is certainly not the same as it was 20 years ago when I got turned around. This is not the same world we're dealing with. People do not think the same way going up to their house. You still have people battling the coronavirus stuff. You still have people battling the mentality of it. I mean, look, you still got people that think, hey, we're going to stream instead of show up at church. You know, Rebecca, you know, that doesn't count for you, so don't unmute your phone. You had surgery the other day. It's okay. She can't walk. It's hard. I told Alex it would be very romantic. He said, I don't know if she can't walk. I'm like, well, you carry her. It's very romantic. You just carry her to church. Like, come on. That's what I would do. No. So this is one of the things that you got to get a grip on, though. Because things are changing, you can sit there. And this is how the initial impact hit me. I look at millennials, and I'm like, you think everybody owes you. You want everybody to free ride. Where do you think the free ride comes from? And what do you think happens in a generation of free rides? What about the next generation? Because now you're the one giving a free ride. Where do you have the money? You needed everything given to you. It doesn't work that way. You have to work for your survival. So this is what happened. That impacted me, and I started feeling like, God, help us with this generation. I don't want anything to do with this. This is what we have to deal with. This is the people. We're going to have all these people out there hating, all these people out there with the violence, all the people out there that are worried about. You know, you can't go pray for somebody. Where we were in Missouri, nobody acted like there was a coronavirus where we were. They're like, a what now? No problems with that whatsoever. But as soon as we drove out of the country rural area where we were, and then we went to a city, everybody's masks on, you can't come in our establishment. I was like, what in the world? I mean, it's not like even in Florida, you know, most places. I think there's only a few places I know of where you have a mask situation in Florida. That was even worse. We couldn't go to the bathroom places. We kept having to pick stop after stop, being like, where do we even go to a bathroom? You go to the door, and they're like, oh, no, we only allowed 5 people in here at a time. You can't, like. And we were talking to a woman outside of a Starbucks in the middle of, I think it was Springfield, and she said, our church isn't open yet. They don't know when they're going to open. And I was like, we're opening as soon as I get back, I want to open. I want to have church. I don't care if it's me and my family. We're having church. But this is why I'm saying it, and this is what matters. Things are changing. Old things are gone. People saying, what's the new normal? Who cares what the new normal is? You can be as normal as God wants you to be right now. You don't need society to be a new normal. You be who God's called you to be. But things are changing. Don't look at them with a squinty eye and an angry attitude and, oh, this stinks. Don't do that. You ever had a kid and you cook something new for that kid? You know, for dinner?
Yes.
And they come to the table for dinner and this is how they come to the table? That's how I, as a kid, came to the table every time my father and mother had liver. I'd come to the table like, you can smell this a mile away. Like, what am I going to eat? The garnish on the side of the platter? Like, I'm not eating liver. It's disgusting. That's why it's named that, liver. Nobody wants to eat it when you hear it. It's liver. Well, that's how a lot of times my wife will cook something, and I love it, but the kids will come to the table, and they'll just be like, what? And then my wife will be like, you better have it. And they'll be like, thanks for making dinner. Like, I'll pass. I ate late lunch. Like, no, you didn't. I'm going to eat a very early snack before bed, right after this, whatever this is. I don't want this. It's like when you cook fish the wrong way. Most kids don't like fish in general, especially if it's fishy. They like it when it's completely unhealthy for you, mostly oil and bread. I've learned that. That's how kids are. If it resembles a chicken stick, they'll eat a fish stick, you know, but if it resembles a piece of fish, good luck. Like, you will fight tooth and nail for that kid. What I'm saying is this. Don't come to the table that God has obviously provided us the opportunity to reach a society and actually just be squinty-eyed, and I don't like it, God, and these people are all, find the way to reach them. Find the opportunities. There is open doors galore right now in business, in outreaches. They're just not the same outreaches as what we want to do or what we have done or what worked before. Old things are moving. You remember these people called scribes and Pharisees? They did not want the Old Testament to end and a New Testament to begin. So they're still Jews practicing the Old Testament because of how much they don't want to let an old thing go for the new. How much they don't want to clear that old stuff out of the way and say this is new. Do you remember what happened in Acts when the word started being preached and they heard? Hey, wait a second. Gentiles are being preached this? You went and sat with Gentiles. That's what they started saying to the apostles. You sat with Gentiles. What are you doing? They didn't want things to change and other people to be grafted in. And the word from God was, hey, if I have called it clean, it's clean. You don't call it unclean. That, thank God or we wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be here. But they so fought the change. And what I'm saying is right now, people are awfully this way about the coronavirus. It's our job to find a way to reach those people and give them peace again instead of just sitting there being like, what are you afraid of?
Yeah, come on, that's right.
What are you doing? You shouldn't have fear. The Bible says there is no fear in perfect love of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, there is not fear. You shouldn't have it, but it doesn't mean you should sit there judgmental on the people that are acting it. Instead, you should find a way, how do I reach that person now? If you go up to people's doors, for instance, a door-to-door evangelism has been dead for some time now. It just doesn't work the same way. People are no longer like, come on in and sit down. You got to come to my table. I got to show you this new vacuum I got and this new pan. You got it. Let's talk. They do not do that at all. If you go door-to-door, it used to work. People are still confused. They're like, let's go door to door and hand these out. And I think, imagine someone coming to your door with something to give you and they knock on your, you know what you want somebody that's going to come to your door to do? Leave it at my door. That's what you want. You don't want somebody who's like, hey, I got this pamphlet for you. You don't. You'd be like, what? I'm busy. And this is, this is going to go in the garbage one way or another, but now you've interrupted me. I'm a little upset now. It's been over for a while, but people are still stuck on that old page, so their whole ministries that still think that's what you do. Just go door to door. No, you might find 3 people out of every 1,000 doors. Maybe. And what I'm saying is you have to be willing to adjust the method in which you're doing things to reach the target audience. Like Dr. Barclay would say, if you don't know how to adjust a lure that you're using to catch fish, you're not going to catch fish everywhere you go. You will catch some fish some places, but use an ocean lure in a lake. Good luck. It doesn't work that way. You have to adjust. Our society right now, it is not the society I want. Our situation right now in our government systems, it's not the one I want. The demographic in America, the bordering on civil war, it's not what I want. But this is who we have to reach. And there are ways to reach these people. There are ways to open up their doors and their hearts. There are ways that we can present ourselves as a church to these people out there to help them feel God's presence. There is not a better time, and I'm serious, for us to be the church with the peace and love and patience and goodness and kindness of God and the power of the Holy Ghost to reach these people than right now. People are afraid. What better time is there for the people without fear to reach them?
Come on.
People are worried. What better time and season will you ever have to go reach them with, God can heal you, God can deliver you. We should have people saying, hey, I'm the cure for coronavirus. So if you're afraid, come here and get healed. Instead of being like, these people don't want to hear anything. They do want to hear answers. They do want to hear solutions. They want to hear Jesus' message. They want to hear, I can be forgiven and God can work in me and there is a new thing for my life and I'm not stuck in a dead-end job or stuck in the rut that my life has been. I'm not stuck in my old ways. Things can become new. The Bible says when you're in Christ Jesus, old things have passed away and what? New things come. All things have become new. I love that because the Bible's trying to say that's what happens when you're in Jesus.
Amen.
New things start coming, and that's what should happen in your life. If they're not happening, you're not still following him the way you should because he's always, listen to what I'm saying, just like manna, he's always replacing an old with a new. And in ministry, you're always going to have to take an old thing, put it here, and pick up the new and say, okay, I may not like it. It may not be my style. I don't like drums. I don't like electric guitar. I don't like the style that they're doing with this. I don't like that we have to do this adjustment to reach the society. I don't like that we have to deal with the unrest, the civil war stuff that we've seen going on. I don't like the political warfare and scene. I don't like the fact that there's riots. Of course we don't.
Yeah. Amen.
Because it's foolishness. It's self-destructive. It's hurtful. It's the enemy's work. Would you like it if you see a giant front of the enemy everywhere and you're like, in every giant city, we're going to have huge enemy warfare? Where are the people being blessed instead? Where are the people getting these revivals and turnarounds? Where's the hunger and the outcry from God's people? And I'm telling you, God's people are too obsessed and focused on their old things to grab hold of the new opportunities. So they're stuck in their old ways. They're still tainted with nasty old coffee with the skin lid on top of it. You know, they're still on it, and they're not going to clean that out. They're not going to say, make me a different vessel. They're not going to say, God, I consecrate myself or our ways. Consecration is man's job. It's when we separate ourselves or clean ourselves out for God. Man cannot sanctify himself. And that's what it says in the rest of the verse. That's God can only do. And God can only sanctify something that has been consecrated, period. And you cannot be holy unless you're sanctified, because it's the process. Here, God, use me. Now I am consecrated for you. I've cleaned myself out. I'm ready, a vessel ready for honor, for use. And God says, let me take you over here for my use. And this act is called sanctification. It's the act of setting something aside for God's use. And holiness, literally defined, just means something set aside for God's use. It's the after effect of sanctification, which is the after effect of consecration. And if you have disconnection issues or connection issues to God, or faith issues with God, or trust issues with God, or you don't see the signs and wonders of God in your life, or you feel breakdown happening, or the rut thing happening, or stuck happening, or your attitude and mind are going towards society's problems, not towards our answer, which is what society needs, then maybe consecration, or emptying the old, and let's get rid of what we've been leaving on the floor and hiding under the toy box and clean house again, and maybe get the leaven out and be ready that this new thing might be better than the old, even though we don't like it. It may look like it's fish, but this might be an amazing tasting meal. Maybe God's trying to set the table for us to succeed, and we're judging him because the old is still sitting in us, and we're not saying new again today, God, fresh again today. Give me manna again today, God, because there is surely a way. You promised you'd provide one, and it looks like there's no way for the church in this society that we're seeing develop, but it is the best place for the church. It is this is the table set for revival in the end times. Right now, this is what we're seeing. We can be upset because it looks bad, or we can be excited like prophets of God that look forward and say, it's the perfect stage for revival. We needed this to happen. People are more hungry and desperate and hurting than they have been in a long time. People are afraid in their houses and their businesses in ways they've never been. They need an answer. And even prideful and arrogant people that own businesses and were big and haughty on themselves, they're all of a sudden going, my business is folding and collapsing. I might need something to save me. Maybe a savior. We are in the perfect stage set by God. The table given from God for us, the same way a parent sets it for a child. I know that you need these vitamins, these nutrients. This is good for you. Eat healthy things. I know you want to eat nothing but shakes and chips, but you know what? This is good for you. God is trying to set our table as the church and saying, this is good for you. So I'm trying to encourage you this morning. Go out, reach out. Find the way that God has for you. It is different. If we just organize a church event, that's awesome, and it can be a great church event outreach. But it has to be person by person, because you can reach someone I can't reach.
Come on, that's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
You will have access to people's lives I do not. You will see people I do not. And if we do it as a big church event, I have news for you. Those things don't work either. How many thousands of people do you get from it? They're great outreaches to bless people. But if you want to see the church grow, it is the same way it was in the Bible. Somebody reaches somebody.
Come on.
And you're going to have to find what God put in you. Why in the world would Jesus send? I always thought this. Why would he send the disciples so early on? Send them out to go do ministry. What was he thinking? It's Jesus Christ. Who wants? Oh gosh, it's Peter. We heard it was going to be Jesus. We got everybody together. It's Peter. Jesus is where now? I don't know if I can make it there. It's because he wanted to set a precedence to us so that we would understand. Even when you're not ready. This was before. Before they were really ready. Even when you don't think you're ready, God will put something in you to help people. Amen. And that thing is the Holy Spirit. That thing is gifts, talents. Dr. Evans used to say these supernatural Holy Spirit talents. And what he meant was people would go out and they would get a word from God. He had a story of this man who was in an airport and he saw a woman and he went up, said, "Listen, this is going to sound strange, but could I pray for you?" And she's like, "Well, that's a new come online. Like, you know, I've never heard that one before." And he said, no, I'm sincere. I mean this. I just want to pray for you." She said, "Okay." So he prayed for her, and it really impacted her. He prayed, and he talked with her a little bit. That's all he did. But she got his number and information, and then she went her way. Well, she was going into a divorce. He didn't know this, of course, but God did. And what he prayed over her was specific towards this divorce she was going to go into. And so she quit on the divorce. She postponed it. Then she ended up getting that marriage reconciled. And then she knew God had done that with this moment. And this wasn't a preacher or a pastor. This was just someone with a gift of the Holy Spirit in them being used by God to reach somebody and impacted her life. We've got to be people who are willing to do that. You know, he said there was a man who went up to a woman and he said, "Listen, God said that I'm going to pray for you and you're going to be healed." Just a stranger. And she said, "You know, you can pray for me." A lot of people, especially in the South, they're happy for you to pray for them. A lot of people in the North, not so much. Like, I thought that was the weirdest thing. When I came from Chicago, I'm like, people in Chicago don't like you doing anything with them unless, like, it's, you have to break down a wall. You know, that's a Jericho. Well, when you go and you pray like this person did, that woman was an older woman, and she got home, went to bed. Her husband woke up in the middle of the night and said, hey, you haven't taken your meds. Your medication's on the counter. She said, "Don't worry. It's going to be okay. I'll tell you in the morning." He said, "Okay." He went to sleep. They woke up in the morning. She said, "This man prayed for me, and God healed me, and I'm okay." And he was just like, "Who is this guy?" So she said, "It's blank and blank." So he calls him. "Hey, my wife says that you prayed for her and she healed. I want to talk to you about it." I said, "Okay, but can I come over there and pray for you first?" "Okay, it's fine." Comes over, prays for him. Now there's revival in this house. Yeah, he gets saved too. What? This wasn't one of the Amy Simple McPhersons and the Smith Wigglesworths. This was just someone with a gift from the Holy Spirit. God has put that in you to reach. That's why I'm saying, guys, racism stops person by person in our hearts with what we can do with us. You cannot make them change. Forcing somebody else to do what you want is the same kind of thing that slavery is. You don't get to beat something that's the devil by doing something that's the devil. You get to do it by actually changing you, and then you being different will affect those around you.
Come on.
Right?
Come on, yes.
So if you let the gift of the Holy Spirit flow in you, you will reach these people. You will reach this area, this nation, because of the fact that you'll start working out of what God put in you to reach the people that are hurting around us, and we'll see revival happen in church. We'll see things turn around. We'll start to instill vision and hope in people instead of, hey, stay at the dead end thing. Don't make any changes. Don't get rid of the old. God is trying to bring a new. He is fresh and new today, and he is trying to bring a new for your life. So take that as the encouragement that it is to go out and do. Encourage people about God. You have answers. They have problems. They're lost in a wilderness, and you're walking around with the map. You know the way out. They don't. You should be able to walk up to people and say, "Listen, you see what I see in society? You see what's happening in the news? I know how to have peace no matter what's going on. I know how to have peace in the middle of all this storm. I know how to have answers when you have a lot of questions. I know how to be saved because of a Savior, and all you know how to do is be lost. I know how to have finances when society is breaking down financially.
Come on.
Because I know the God who provides." We have answers.
Amen.
We should be seen as the people with answers, and we should be out there doing something about it. So I encourage you, get off of your rear ends, clean out the old nasty, and go out with a different attitude towards this society. No, we don't like it. No, I'm not saying, hey, why don't we all act like millennials? No, that's ridiculous. But don't be afraid to reach those millennials, because it is a great opportunity. If you can reach that generation, we'll bring a new fire and energy inside of the church, which we will desperately need to reach the whole world that we need to reach before the end. Amen.